11th grader at Fayetteville High School in Fayetteville, Arkansas. My favorite teacher is Miss Burnett because she's always willing to help and is a great history teacher. We love you, Miss Burnett.
Nice job in that iReport, Madison. We're glad to see all of you tuning in for this midweek edition of CNN Student News. My name is Carl Azus. Let's get started. First up, investigators are studying an explosive device that they say could have ended up on a plane heading to the United States. This is all part of an alleged terror plot that officials say was broken up recently. They seized the explosive device, and authorities say the person who intended to use it is no longer a threat. Intelligence agencies say this plot started in the nation of Yemen. That's the home base for Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, which has been described as the most dangerous Al-Qaeda affiliate. This group was behind several attempted plots, like the so-called underwear bomber in 2009. The officials who broke up this plot say the device was similar to ones that the terrorist group has used before, like the ones you're seeing in this video. They say it never posed an immediate danger, but they also described it as much more sophisticated than previous explosives. That's causing concerns that the Al-Qaeda group could be advancing its bomb-making techniques. There are a lot of unanswered questions about this plot right now. How is it broken up? Where is the person who is planning to use the explosive? What officials have said is that this bomb was designed to slip past airport metal detectors. On Monday, Brian Todd was reporting on the possibility of that happening.
That is the huge question today. That is really being debated. Now, Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano and the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Mike Rogers, have just said, essentially, last night and this morning, that they believe that these scanners would have detected this potential explosive. But if you talk to terrorism experts and security experts, that is not at all clear that even these, you know, so-called backscatter, these body scanners, would have detected it. And also these body scanners are not used in every airport overseas, not even used in every airport in the United States. So it's a question of implementing those where they need to be, and again, whether they are sophisticated right now, sophisticated enough to actually detect these types of bombs, and that is really not at all clear at this point.
Today's shout out goes out to Mrs. Staley's social studies classes at Centennial Middle School in South Lyon, Michigan. Which of these was one of the original 13 American colonies? You know what to do? Was it Maine, Florida, Vermont, or North Carolina? You've got 3 seconds. Go. North Carolina is the only option that was an original colony. That's your answer, and that's your shout out.
You probably learned about North Carolina's lost colony in school. 1587, Governor John White left about 100 English settlers on Roanoke Island when he went to England to get supplies. When he got back to North Carolina in 1590, everyone had disappeared. Aaron Hartness of affiliate WRAL reports on some possible clues in this centuries-old investigation.
Lead on to the ship!
Year after year, actors reenact the story of the lost colony for enthralled audiences. Now, the 400-plus-year mystery just got its big break.
This is the first solid clue that searchers for the colonists of the Roanoke colony have had 400 years.
The clue is found on this map, created from Sir Walter Raleigh's first expedition to the New World.
What's curious about this map is that while it's highly accurate and very detailed, it contained two patches.
Lane says nobody had ever thought to look under those patches in 400 years. Researchers in Britain, where the map is housed, found this under one patch.
It turned out that it concealed a large symbol consistent with the sort of forts that were being built.
Lane says that likely means this was the location for a second English colony. The city would have been named Raleigh. Researchers discovered what they believed to be invisible ink written on top of the patch, so Sir Walter Raleigh could likely show the map to the Queen or investors without most people knowing his plans. Raleigh would have been especially trying to hide them from the Spanish,
who we know were very upset about the English presence here. They claimed all of this land, and they had destroyed, I mean totally destroyed, massacred two different French colonies.
The map may also explain where most of the lost colonists went or tried to go.
But I think this new discovery has now confirmed that they indeed went or intended to go to this location here.
The biggest takeaway for researchers with these new discoveries and images is they now know where to look for more clues about the lost colony, right here in Bertie County.
There's very good evidence now to suggest that this area deserves a good deal of attention.
Maybe there, researchers will finally solve the mystery.
As North Carolinians, I think we've all felt the obligation to find the lost colony.
Next up, the state of Nevada is issuing a new type of license. It's not going to a person, it's going to a company, Google. Nevada is giving the technology giant the green light for a new type of car. You can see someone behind the wheel there, but he might as well be in the back seat because the car is driving itself. It's called an autonomous vehicle, and Nevada is the first state to allow them on the road. There's no driver needed, though Google says someone's usually in the front seat and ready to take control if need be. This is what the car sees. It uses video cameras, radio sensors, and a laser rangefinder to keep track of traffic, plus detailed maps to navigate the road. Google says the autonomous cars have completed about 200,000 miles of computer-directed driving.
What's the word? It refers to someone who escapes danger by going to a different country. Refugee. That's the word.
According to the U.S. government, San Diego, California is one of the largest refugee resettlement areas in the country. Mark Caban works to help some of the area's youngest refugees adjust to life in a new country. His efforts are why he's one of this year's CNN heroes.
Living in Iraq during the war was pretty hard. The explosions, the kidnappings. We wanted to come to U.S. It was like a dream, you know?
The United States resettles the most refugees in the world. Many of them are from Iraq, and they're being resettled in San Diego in large numbers. When they get here, they're learning a new language. They have to find employment. Really, in a lot of ways, the struggle is just beginning. When my family came from Beirut, I was 9 years old. Working as a refugee case manager, I saw a lot of kids just idle, alienated. Having a normal childhood is something they really deserve. My name is Mark Caban, and I use soccer to motivate refugee youth to succeed in the United States.
Now everyone's going to be on your toes.
Yalla is an Arabic word which means let's go, and it's really what we're trying to do here with the kids.
Good, Mazen, stay on them.
We have 200 refugee youth in our program. These kids come from all over Africa, Asia, and the Middle East. Their families have endured the same struggle. When they realize that, they become like brothers and sisters.
1, 2, 3, yes!
Soccer is an escape, it's confidence, it's making them feel like they belong, and it's just fun. Yella uses soccer as a hook, and then we have them in our education program.
And
try to get them onto college.
They help me to find a friend, and they teach me how to speak English. Now with Yella and Coach Mark, it's a fun life.
Their families have sacrificed everything for their kids to have a better life. If we can do anything to help them, it's my honor.
All right, before we go, we're going to check out some mechanical mayhem. It's the National Robotics League Championships. Two bots enter, one bot leaves. Well, actually, they both leave, but one leaves as the winner. Indianapolis hosted the Clash of the Titanium Titans last weekend. The event's designed to get students interested in technology and manufacturing. The competitors had to qualify for this event by winning smaller bouts around the U.S. Makes sense that battle robots have to compete on a circuit. They need to steel themselves for this type of face-off before they test their mettle at the national level. Some people may think it's thrilling to watch two machines get into a row, but others may think these mechanical battles just lack punch. That's about all the time we have for today. For CNN Student News, I'm Carl Azus. We'll see you tomorrow.